Today, I was in the office, and I was doing something that I've done now for several years. I have a red Bible. I'll give it to one of my children one day, and it has every outline that I've ever preached from this pulpit. I write the outline in the margins. It's got these gigantic margins. And I was just writing, and I should clarify that. I'm only through 2013, amen? So I'm catching up as we go. But I was doing that, and as I was doing that, I was listening to messages that had been preached from this pulpit when I wasn't here, when either I was on vacation or preaching a revival meeting. I was away in the Philippines, and I was listening to the messages, and I listened to two by Pastor Donald today. And they were both such a blessing. One was on gossip. He preached on gossip. And he started the message out, and he leaned over to Brother Case. He said, "Brother Case, did you hear about so-and-so?" And you can hear Brother Case's voice. He said, "You should have heard what I heard." Amen? And he preached. It was a great message on gossip. And then another message he preached was on patience and how God wants us to have patience and how God works patience into our lives. And we don't always like the process. And I appreciate this young man of God. And I say that. He's 27, been on staff with us for 5 years now. He's an older man of God than he was when he came. But I appreciate him very much. And Pastor, I want you to come preach the word to us. Amen.
Preacher. Amen. Is this thing on? Amen. I can't believe it's been 5 years. Every time I think about that, you know, it's hard to believe. I just count my kids. And I'm like, oh, it had to have been at least 5 years because I got four now. And I love it. I love Loomis Park. If you love Loomis Park, say amen. 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 Now, I don't particularly care for Loomis Park playground down the road. Not that good. Loomis Park Baptist Church, though. I love that place. And it's great to be in God's house. That great crowd. Love this this front row here. Looks great. You got the rose between the thorns right here. Pastor Mark. Surrounded by all these dudes. And it's great to have Angie Becker with us tonight and her friend, Cody. Amen. I'm telling you, Cody, if you haven't met Cody's the coolest. I love Cody. He's the man. And you had to meet him afterwards from serving the Lord in North Carolina right now and graduate from Grace Baptist College. And so it's great to have you guys here as well. And I love Loomis Park Baptist Church. It has been 5 years, and it's been 5 years of awesome memories and God working and God teaching me a whole lot. And building our family, growing our family, and our church family. And it's been so exciting. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to Philippians 4 together. I always love preaching in the pulpit of Loomis Park Baptist Church. And I just love it. Love being here. Looking forward to another 5 years. Come on now. Amen. Wow, I expect a little bit more amens on that one. Gee whiz. Man. Another 5 years, amen? Yeah, we want you here, brother, amen. We'll give you another one. Philippians chapter 4, talking about rejoicing tonight. I guess I have a lot of one-word titles. Gossip, patience, rejoicing. That's all I got, just one-word titles all the way through. Water, one day, you know, so, amen. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at verse 4 together. You know it. Let's read together nice and loud on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Ready? Begin. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If you know me well enough, you know that I'm a pretty happy guy, pretty wired up guy, fired up guy. I love life. I'm excited. And today, I was at home for lunch real quick, and Donald's homeschooling, watching the Becca program DVDs, and he's learning how to write cursive and all these different things, and he knows his letters. And I went in, and my wife knows a lot more about his schooling than I do because I'm here working all day. And I went in there and checked on him, and he's so excited, and he's showing me he's writing cursive, and he's writing H-E, and he's writing the word hen. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what is this? You know, what letters are these? H-E-N. What do they sound like? Huh? Eh? N." And I want to see if he can read, because I don't even know if he can read yet. I mean, he's just a little bit through kindergarten. And I said, "What does that word say?" And I hadn't said it yet. And he read it. He said, he looked at it, said, "Huh? Heh? Mm-hmm. Hen." And I'm telling you, man, I about came unglued. I'm like, my kid can read, man. That's awesome. That's exciting. I was rejoicing in the fact that my son could read. Read one little three-letter word, and I was pumped up. I'm pumped up every time the house is not destroyed by my second-born child, Seth. That's something to rejoice about, amen? He wakes up for all of us and does his own thing. But listen, I'm talking about rejoicing tonight. and what the Bible says. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I'll read it again. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." A little bit of backstory about this book of the Bible, and if you think about when this was written, Paul, he's writing from prison in Rome. And he's there facing possible death, execution, after being falsely accused. He's falsely accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple and starting this rebellion against the Jews and their law. So he's in jail on false accusations, and he should have already been released. But if you look at Acts 24, you'll see that the governor kept him in custody to try to bribe him with money to do all these different things. And he's supposed to be out and all these different things. And the governor wanted to do the Jews a favor. And not only that, but on the way to Rome, there was shipwreck. And when he got to Rome, or when he got out of prison, none of the pastors there wanted to be around him. He was a prisoner, and they didn't like him. And they're preaching about envy and selfish ambition and all this garbage. And so Paul, if you think about it, Paul had a good reason to be a little upset. Paul had a good reason to be a little, even angry, to all that he'd been through, falsely accused, in prison. These pastors didn't want anything to do with him, and he's trying to invest in people and reach people. He had a good reason to be upset or angry or depressed. You'd think that the Philippians would be writing him a letter, cheering him up after all he'd been through. But instead, we see in these short four chapters of Philippians, it's filled with joy. 15 times in Philippians, it talks about joy and rejoicing. Go to Philippians 1, just a few pages over, Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. It's so cool. Philippians 1:18. Paul says this, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." His joy was not an automatic feeling, but it was rather a deliberate choice. He said, listen, he says it right there at the end of the verse. He said, "Therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." He said, "I'm going to rejoice. Yes, I've been through some struggles. Yes, I've had some problems, but I am going to rejoice." And then again in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Listen, he didn't repeat it just for kicks. Emphasis on that. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." There's an emphasis on that. He knows, listen, Paul knows it wasn't easy. He knows it's not easy, all that he'd been through. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord always. What does that really mean? Rejoice in the Lord always. I believe it means it's an attitude of contentment and hope that transcends circumstances. Hear that? I just caught a fly. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Beautiful. Beautiful. That was awesome right there. Never happened. I've always tried to catch them up here. I never do. I'm rejoicing the fact that I just caught that. That was awesome. Rejoice in the Lord always. An attitude. You might want to write this in your Bible right next to that verse. An attitude of contentment and hope that transcends circumstances. Abiding joy in the Lord should be the aim of every Christian. Abiding joy. Joy that lasts. Real, true joy. Not just temporal. Is it temporal? Temporal happiness that's just for a little while. Not that, but true, lasting joy from the Lord should be the aim of every Christian, of every person in this room, including the guy up here. Listen, abiding joy. It doesn't mean that we'll never be depressed. It doesn't mean that we'll never be sad or face heartache. That's unrealistic to think that we'll never have trials that we'll have a broken heart about. That's unrealistic. But isn't it funny that the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which says, "Rejoice always." Shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. The shortest verse in the English New Testament is John 11:35, "Jesus wept." Now that's not contradictory. It's not. Jesus wept. But it also says, "Rejoice always." Does that mean we're not supposed to ever? No, not at all. Jesus could weep and have joy knowing he was going to the cross. We see that in John 15, verse 11. He could weep and yet have the fullness of joy even in facing the cross. And listen, we will face trials. We know many of you are going through a trial right now. We'll face trials, but we know that joy comes in the morning. There's a reason. So what can we rejoice in? That's the message tonight. What can we rejoice in? What does the Bible say about rejoicing? What are some things that we can rejoice in? Let's go to 1 Samuel first. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll start right there in the beginning, and I'll work my way through. We'll kind of do as pastor does, starts kind of as early as possible, and then works your way through the New Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Rejoice in the Lord always. What can we rejoice in? What does the Bible say we can rejoice in? 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then into chapter 2, talk about Hannah. Hannah. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." Why could Hannah say that? Why would Hannah pray that? Look at chapter 1 and verse 27. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." Number one, what does the Bible say? What can we rejoice in? Number one, rejoice in divine answers to prayer. Rejoice in divine answers to prayer. I love that chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 19, if you're still there. It says at the end of that verse, "And the Lord remembered her." The Lord remembered her. Listen, folks, rejoice that God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about what we go through. God is not oblivious to the trials that we face. No, He wants to hear our prayers, and He wants to answer our prayers. And I have no doubt in this crowd, I've talked to many of you folks before, you can tell story after story of times when God has stepped in and answered your prayer. That's something to rejoice about. Rejoice in divine answers to prayer. I think of sweet Miss Carol Ann. What a prayer warrior, amen? I have no doubt she probably has all your names written down in her journal, her prayer journal. I love looking through that thing. She cuts out pictures, and she'll cut out the sliders in the bulletin that we put up for revival meetings or team spec or whatever it may be, and she'll put them in her journal, tape them in there, and pray day after day, hour after hour, moment after moment, praying. And I have no doubt she could write book after book after book of times when God has answered prayer. Preacher, I think of sweet Miss Madge. Mentioned it at her service. And she so often would come to pastor and say, "I prayed for your sermon this week. I prayed for your sermon this week." Oh, and we saw the answers to those prayers. Oh, rejoice in divine answers to prayer. I can think of in my life, yes, I know I'm young, 27 years old, but the times when God has shown Himself mighty in my life. Oh, He provides constantly anyway. So we get so used to it sometimes. We get used to things going so well, we forget that it's all God. It's all Him. When times do get a little difficult, when money does get a little tight, when job situations are a little iffy, and we go to God asking for help, asking for strength, asking for guidance, asking for provision, and He does. Oh, we can rejoice in those times, those divine answers to prayer, that the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, would listen to me. Would listen to me. Oh, that's something to rejoice about. To smile about. Praise the Lord. Oh, rejoice in divine answers to prayer. What else? Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And Miss Hazel, when you get that knee surgery, I'm challenging you to a foot race in the parking lot. Okay? Psalm 119. Amen. She just punched me in the face and keep running, man. Happy out cold. Psalm 119, verse 162. We know what Psalm 119 is all about. I think you know where I'm going with this one. Psalm 119, 162 says this: "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Number two, and I'm sticking with the letter D, rejoice in divine answers to prayer. I've been hanging around pastorates for a long time, so I'm alliterating. Number two, rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. Rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. Verse 162, "I rejoice at thy word." Folks, this is true. Look up. We wouldn't be here without the Word of God. And I mean that in this way. There'd be no church without the Word of God. There be no knowledge of the gospel without the Word of God. Listen, all the times when God has spoken to your heart, all the time when God's given you hope in time of difficulty, all the times when God's given us those reminders as we read His Word, all that will be gone without the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord that we have it. And listen, this is just a side note, not in my notes, but praise God for a country when we can have the Bible, where we have the right and the freedom to own not just one, but many copies of the Word of God, that I can stand behind a pulpit and open it and preach the whole counsel of God. Praise God for that freedom. That's something to rejoice about right there, that we have the freedom. But even in those countries that might have to sneak them in, listen, we must rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. No, listen, no hope. We'd have no hope without the Word of God. We wouldn't know what the future holds. As in when Christ comes. We wouldn't know that without the Word of God. No guidance without the Word of God. No knowledge at all about how to live our lives without the Word of God. Teenagers, look up here, teens. Don't treat this like any other book. Please. Listen, adults too, right? Hey, this is not just another book. This is the very Word of God. Man, look at it. I know every Bible's different. Mine says Holy Bible. Holy. Holy. We say it so often we forget. It's a holy book. The words of God. The living Word of God. And we get to have it. Amen. We get to hold it close. We get to read it whenever we want. We get to preach it if you're wherever you're, Sunday school teachers, pastor, youth pastor, whatever. We have the Word of God, and there's something to rejoice in that. Rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. Teens, take care of your Bibles. Take care of your Bibles. Don't throw it on your bed when you get home. Don't just keep it up on the shelf and just don't leave. Listen, don't leave it. Listen. I have several copies. I have many in my office. I have many. Maybe Ms. Bittinger's found my Bible in my pew. That doesn't mean I'm not reading it. I have a bunch of them. But listen, teens, you've got one. Something like me, you just have one Bible. I mean, don't leave it here. I mean, don't leave it in your locker at school if you bring it. Hey, why don't you bring it to school? Amen. Why don't you bring it to school? Why don't you walk around with it from class to class? Man, we get to have this. Hey, remember, Ian, we get to have the Word of God. Rejoice in the doctrine of the Word of God. Number three, go to Psalm 126, a few pages over. I just feel like rejoicing. Amen. I think I'll have Eddie come up and sing with me. Come on. Rejoice. Preacher, I'm looking at this chapter, and I have written here Psalm 126 up at the top. Pastor Cleveland, 25th anniversary. Preached about God being good, this chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I love that the heathen said that. The Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Number one, rejoice in divine answers to prayer. Number two, rejoice in the doctrine of the Word of God. Number three, rejoice in a difference made in someone's life. Rejoice in a difference made in someone's life. I said we wouldn't be here without the Bible, but you know what else? We wouldn't be here had it not been for someone. Someone else who planted the seed. Maybe it was a mom or dad. Maybe it was a grandparent that reached you. Maybe it was a coworker, preacher. Maybe it was just someone that passed out a track or left a track. I'm not sure. I don't know all your stories. Somebody did something. And that's why you're here. We know preacher's testimony, and I don't need to go into the details. He was working, and a co-worker gave him some tracks, planted that seed. Oh, the difference made. I think of my family. My mom was saved as a teenager I don't even know if it was just a local youth group, but she didn't go to church at all as a teenager. She just went, accepted Christ, and then really wasn't part of that church, or I don't know really anything about it. And grew up next to my dad. They grew up as next door neighbors. My mom and dad knew each other since kindergarten. And it's crazy. They've been married 30 years now. Well, they grew up, and my dad went in the military. My mom followed him into the military. And if you know my mom, you're like, that's pretty crazy. She does not look like the Army type. And she drove Army trucks, which is hilarious. But she told a story once. She was supposed to throw the grenade, and she didn't throw it far enough. And the drill sergeant had to tackle her down to the ground. She followed him into the military, and they got married in the military. And then came back, and my dad had to go to Germany for a deployment, and we, as a family, it was just my brother and my older brother and me, were the only children at the time. We moved to Germany to live with dad, you know, to be with dad. He was there for a while, and there was a missionary, Brother Ian. It was a missionary to the military there on base. Chuck Sly, still in the ministry, still reaching the soldiers. And through a series, he had that church there on base. And someone that went there invited my dad and mom. My mom knew the Lord. They weren't unspiritual people. My dad had grown up Catholic. They knew about the Lord. They weren't atheists. But we went to church, and my dad got saved. And we moved back to Massachusetts and moved to Westfield, Massachusetts, and started going to Pioneer Valley Baptist Church, where Pastor Jerry Cleveland helped my family grow, and my dad began working with the teenagers there and working in the bus ministry, and I grew up in the Christian Academy. But listen, I'm here because somebody made a difference. Oh, there's somebody to rejoice. I'm rejoicing now about the difference made in my life through other people. And I look out at this front row, and I look out at you dear folks and the investment that you've made in our youth group and in our family. And I look at people like Angie Becker, who's serving the Lord with her life, Mark getting ready to go out to Bible college. Man, I'm telling you, there's something to rejoice about. And if some have compassion, making a difference, oh, rejoice that someone made a difference in your life. And make sure you're making a difference in someone else's life. It is sowing tears shall reap in joy. Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Make a difference in someone else's life because someone made a difference in yours. Amen. Rejoice in a difference made in someone's life. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Just two more. Rejoice. John chapter 14. Look at verse 28. Jesus says this in verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. We know in the beginning of the chapter, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Rejoice in divine answer to prayer. Rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. Rejoice in differences made in someone's life. And number four, rejoice in the definite return of Christ. Amen. Rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. Just turn on the news, folks. Then again, don't. Because it's not that good. There's just a mess in this world. My Facebook news feed, if you're on Facebook, you know they have the memories. And just a few weeks ago, it was all that talk of Newtown and the Sandy Hook shootings 5 years ago. 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. And we see just on and on and on. It just seems to be getting worse. And listen, that doesn't mean we lose hope. I'm not saying that. But really, the truth is, man, there's a lot of mess going on in the world today. We need Jesus. We need him. Listen, he promised that he'd come back. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Why not? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. It says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now think about this. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise. That is something to rejoice about. Yes, there's bad news all over the media. Yes, you can't turn on social media or the news without seeing something terrible going on in our country or in the world. Yes, we may face difficulty even personally in our life, but the truth of the matter is, folks, that amidst all that stuff going on, amidst all those trials and problems and difficulties, Jesus Christ is still coming back. He still loves us. He promised he would, and he will return. That's something to rejoice in. Amen, Brother Wright? That's something to rejoice in. Amen. Amen, Drake. Come on. That's good. Thank God. Amen. That's good. That's something to rejoice. I feel like Mark Swanson right now. You don't know Mark Swanson. He's a jumper, man. I'm pumped up. He's going to return, folks. We have hope. The world doesn't have hope. Brother Ian Boston doesn't have hope. We have hope. We want to give him that hope. We have that hope. We know and we claim to believe it. Now, why would we walk around so sour? Why do we walk around with such... Listen, again, I know we face difficulties and trials, but we can rejoice in the promise. Oh, we're looking for that blessed hope. We can rejoice in the promise. He will return. I will come again, is what he said. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. And lastly, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We said rejoice in divine answers to prayer. Rejoice in the doctrines of the Word of God. Rejoice in a difference made in someone's life. Rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. And let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Number 5, rejoice in difficulties that you face. It's easy to rejoice in answered prayer. Why wouldn't it be? We prayed and God answered. That's something easy to rejoice about. That's easy to rejoice in the Word of God. Oh my goodness, we have the words of God. We read, they encourage us, they challenge us, they help us. We're saved because of the Word of God. Rejoice. We can rejoice in a difference made in our lives or that we have the privilege to make in someone else's life. To see fruit, oh, that's such, man, easy to rejoice. It's easy to rejoice thinking about the return of Christ that he promised. But what about when trouble comes in? What about when you get that phone call with that news that you never would want to hear? What about when the doctor gives you a bad report? What about when there is job problems and you do lose your job? What about when there's one of your children is in trouble, whether it be physically in danger or away from the Lord? What about those times? Rejoice? Really? Why? I don't like what I'm going through. I actually could say I hate what I'm going through. Why would I want to be happy about that at all? Why would I want to rejoice in a trial? Why would I want to rejoice in something that hurts me? Why would I want that? The trying of our faith worketh patience. It says right there, glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, I don't really care about patience. I don't like this problem. And we know that all things work together for good. Well, listen, I that verse gets used so much, but why not, preacher? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. But I don't want to rejoice. It hurts. It bothers me. It's not what I want. I think of another passage. And I'm hoping I get there. It wasn't in my notes. Right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the suffering, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. I don't want to rejoice in this trial. I don't want to rejoice in this problem. I don't want to rejoice in this difficulty. God, why should I? Because He's going to use it for His glory. Listen, it's easy preaching, hard living. I know. I know that. And listen, come from someone that hasn't had a lot of trials in my life personally, comparatively to those in this room. But you can use your trial to help someone else one day with the comfort that Christ gives you. God may use that. I was just talking to someone, and I can't even remember who it was, about these kind of things, about trials. It was Cody last night. We were talking about it. We were talking about how the Lord uses difficulty to bring us to where God wants us. It's only God can do that. Only God can make a positive out of a negative. Only God can make a triumph through trial. Only God can do that. Rejoice in the difficulties that you face. God, listen, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Our lives are in His hand. Our lives are in His hand. Think of Paul as he wrote the book of Philippians. Paul gets it. Paul, after all he'd been through, still said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Still said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Still said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said that. Jesus Christ, knowing where He was going, knowing that He was going to the cross, but for the joy that was set before Him. Oh, Jesus rejoiced. Think of Paul and Silas in the jails, in prison, falsely accused as they lifted praises to the Savior, to God. Rejoice in difficulties that you face. It's not about feeling, folks. It's a matter of obedience. It's not just if you feel like it's rejoice in the Lord always. It's a command. And again I say, rejoice. Listen, folks, we're a light to this lost world. Why should we rejoice always in the Lord? Because people are watching us. People are looking to us. The citizens of Boston, Massachusetts are going to be looking at Brother Ian Brown. And praise the Lord for the spirit of Brother Ian Brown. Drake, the kids at Michigan Center High School are going to look at you. And Leslie, in Stockbridge. They're watching us, guys. They're watching you at your job. Listen, they'll probably know when you face difficulty, especially if it's something serious. And they know that you're in a tragedy or in a problem or whatever it may be. And they are going to watch you. Brother Mark, listen, when you go to Bible college, there's going to be times of difficulty. Amen? Amen? Pastor Mark? Amen? Brother Rich? Listen, we know that. We know that. But you're going to have people looking at you, man. How you react. Do you rejoice in your trials? Do I rejoice in my trial, Brother Bill? Man, it's tough. But people are watching. We're a light to this lost world. We're even a light to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and encouragement. People are watching us. Listen, God's done so much for us. These are just five things. There's so much more. This doesn't even scratch the surface. People are watching. God's done so much for us. God's done so much for us. May we rejoice. May we rejoice in divine answers to prayer. May we rejoice in the doctrines of this blessed book, the Word of God. May we rejoice in a difference made in our life and the differences that we can make in someone else's life. May we rejoice in the definite return of Jesus Christ. And as difficult as it may be sometimes, may we rejoice always in the difficulties that we face. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for being so good to us. Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation. Lord, for someone in here tonight that's not saved, help them to accept you. Lord, for someone going through a trial or a tragedy, help them to, Lord, seek your face. Lord, for someone tonight, God, in this room, that maybe their spirit hasn't been as it should be as a Christian, and they're not rejoicing like they should, I ask you to speak to their heart tonight. Help them.